No, Lord, we ask that you would make us hearers and doers of your word, that you would open the eyes and ears of our heart to your truth, that those who do not know Christ, that even as they, in this moment, as they listen and watch and hear the preaching of your word, that even at distance, the Spirit might work mightily to bring salvation. And for your people who were hearing and watching, even at distance, may the Spirit work to sanctify them and grow them in your grace, to be more like Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Let us now look to God's Word as we continue, though it's been a few weeks, our sermon series through the Gospel according to Luke. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 9, we're going to be reading verses 7 through 9 this evening, and we'll be looking at that. So as you turn to Luke chapter 9, verses 7 through 9, I'll remind you that Luke is written to confirm the certainty of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see in our short passage this evening a question that's being asked: who is this Jesus? And this question is being asked even by Herod, even by a civil ruler of this land, because the Lord Jesus Christ's ministry is being known everywhere. So let us turn to God's Word. Listen, for it is perfect, inerrant, and sufficient. Luke chapter 9, verses 7 through 9. Now Herod, the tetrarch, heard about all that was happening, and he was perplexed, because it was said by some that John had been raised from the dead, by some that Elijah had appeared, and by others that one of the prophets of old had risen. Herod said, "John I beheaded, but who is this about whom I hear such things?" And he sought to see him. I try to get my news in a different way, in a way that keeps me from constantly watching cable news or constantly listening to news. The 24/7 news cycle can get a little overwhelming, especially when you have so many different news channels, organizations fighting for everybody's attention. So I do get my news, but I do it in a way that kind of holds things down. Well, this last 2 weeks, I've tried my best to catch the different press conferences that the president's done, that the governor of the state that I live in, Tennessee, that he has held, and also the press conferences and the video release statements that the county mayor for the county I live in, Knox County, so that I might have a better idea what's going on, what's being done, how are they addressing things with all these concerns about coronavirus, COVID-19, and also with the guidelines that keep coming out as you're trying to follow along with what it is that the civil magistrate, to the best of their wisdom and ability, is attempting to do, and to better understand what it is they're attempting to do. Well, when I go to these videos, I go to them online. Because of my schedule, I'm usually not able to get to them right away. So I go afterwards. And while I'm watching them, you've probably noticed this before, many of these videos, news videos, things, that they have comments underneath. Well, I started reading some of these comments, and I was kind of taken aback. In fact, I'm kind of concerned. Seriously, and I think you need to be concerned as well. See, because as I read these comments, I realized that some of the greatest experts when it comes to coronavirus, COVID-19, have been relegated to the comment section on the internet. Not allowed to step forward and take hold of the reins of what the civil magistrate is doing, but instead they're forced to have to suffer under the sadness of only being able to comment online. Now, I can't hear you, but I'm assuming you're laughing. Yes, it's crazy. Comments on the internet, stay away from them. As you read them, you realize, wow, I hope these are fake. You know, as we look at these comments, and at least as I did, as I read through them, the opinions are across the board on what has to be done, what has to be done. It reminds me a lot of what we read here as we worked through our passage, and we were reading that Herod's hearing about Jesus, but he's hearing different things. The people are saying different things. Just like those comments. Just like those comments, the people, they're crying out many, many different explanations and understandings of who Jesus is. But as we look at our passage together, well, what I want you to see and remember is that many claim to know about Jesus, but what matters is actually knowing him. We're going to unpack our passage in three main points as we're together. One, Herod hears many different things about Jesus. Two, Herod is confused by what he hears about Jesus. And three, Herod, though confused, desires to see Jesus. Many claim to know about Jesus, but what matters is actually knowing him. So our first point, as we looked at that, Herod hears many different things about Jesus. You know, Jesus' ministry up to this point has primarily taken place in a geographical area. Much of Jesus' ministry, he's going about teaching, preaching, performing miracles, has been in an area that Herod has jurisdiction over, that Herod is in control of, that he's ruling. You know, this week, I mentioned earlier about the civil magistrate, the things they're trying to do to flatten the curve, to combat the spread of this virus. So the governor of Tennessee came a couple days ago over to Knoxville, which is right next to Oak Ridge, where Covenant is, came to meet with the civil leaders that are in Knoxville, one of those being the county mayor, Knox County Mayor, where I live. That county mayor has jurisdiction and responsibilities over one little area. As you work your way up, the governor has responsibilities to serve a greater area. So in the same way, and yet not the same way, but similar enough, Herod is underneath the Roman rule. And he's a little closer to the action, to the people. And he's getting feedback, and he's hearing about this Jesus. And he's, you can imagine what he's hearing about. I mean, as we've been working our way through the gospel according to Luke, the things that Jesus is doing, we've already seen throughout from the very beginning, moving forward, even the birth of Christ up to his presentation at the temple as a baby and as a young man, and then as he comes forward and he begins his public ministry. Throughout each of these times, the scriptures tell us that his renown is everywhere, that there is a buzz going on, that it is viral right now. That's what everybody's sharing on social media is, who is this Jesus? Who is this Jesus? And then you have what we looked at last time we were together. So Jesus gives his power and authority to the 12 and sends them out that they might preach, teach, and that they might perform miracles. And all of this is coming back and making its way to Herod as he's hearing about it. News is making its way to Herod the Tetrarch. And the question is starting to come, who is this Jesus as he hears these things? He's hearing about the power and authority of Jesus. That when Jesus teaches, he teaches with power and authority, not like the scribes and the Pharisees. Not in a way that people are like, well, yeah, thanks for your opinion. But he comes and says, this is God's word. He is preaching and teaching with great power and authority that causes crowds to flock to him and follow. His power and authority, though, is not just seen in his teaching and his preaching. His power and authority is seen also over sickness as he heals the sick, His power and authority is seen over nature. We've seen in the scriptures already as he has calmed the storm. But don't forget also, he had the great catch that many witnessed as he told the soon-to-be disciples to cast the net over the side at the wrong place and the wrong time, and it was the greatest catch they've ever had in their life. The command of Jesus. We've seen already, and others have seen, Jesus' power and authority over demons to expel them. We've seen already, and others have seen, Jesus' power and authority even over death as he raised a young man from death. All of this, surely, is what is getting and coming to Herod, as it says that he is hearing about all that's happening. These are the things that are coming to him, and he's hearing different things from those who are bringing it, but he's hearing. He's hearing about Lord Jesus Christ, his power and authority as he is moving throughout this area in his public ministry. So what does this mean for you, those who are listening and watching? You know, great, I hear what you're saying, Pastor John, but what does this have to do with me right now? Sitting, watching this in my den at home or on my phone, you know, what does this have to do with me? That's great. I hear what Herod's saying here. And he's understanding all these things. But see, you, like Herod, like everyone else, you're confronted with this same basic yet incredibly important question. Extremely important question. Who is this Jesus? And then how do you go about answering it? Are you going to believe what God says? Are you going to believe what the Bible proclaims? Or do you listen to the other voices that are around? Who is this Jesus that you hear about? Who is this Jesus that others talk about? You know, it's not enough. As you're seeking to answer this question, you say, well, yeah, I know who Jesus is. It's not enough to know a lot about Jesus or even a lot about the Bible. So if you could say, hey, Pastor John, I could go on Bible Jeopardy, I'd knock it out. Grand champion. No one could defeat me. I know everything. That could be a great thing. But at the same time, it could also not be. Because while knowing a lot about Jesus can be great, there are a lot of people who know a lot about Jesus and have no relationship with him. They've not been given new hearts. They know a lot. It doesn't mean that they believe it and trust in Christ for salvation. See, what really matters is, again, back to this main point that I hope that you see through this passage, that many claim to know about Jesus, but what matters is actually knowing him. Having a relationship with Christ is what's important. You know, it's one thing to read the Bible like you'd read any other novel. It's a whole other thing when you're reading the scriptures by faith because you were dialoguing and fellowshipping with your God. When you read the Bible, he speaks to you, and then you pray in faith to him. There's a relationship there. It means of God's word and prayer growing that. So Herod hears many different things about Jesus. And then Herod, having heard all these things, then Herod is confused by what he hears about Jesus. Jesus is said to be like a prophet of old, or to be Elijah, or perhaps some are even saying, is John the Baptizer. He's back. These are the voices that Herod is hearing. That this is who this Jesus might be. You know, it reminds me when I was younger. So children, maybe this is something that you experience. So if so, then listen and learn. I bet your parents and grandparents could say, yeah, that's true. See, when I was a child, and even when I was a teenager, even farther, as a young adult, what would happen is my friends, we'd get together, something would come up, and you'd hear a lot of opinions. It was kind of like what we see here, where Herod's hearing all these different voices. Who is Jesus? Oh, well, you know, Jesus is one of the prophets of old. He's come back. Oh, well, Jesus is Elijah. Oh, well, no, actually, Herod, Jesus is John. He's back. You hear all these different voices, and everyone, of course, is speaking authoritatively because they're, you know, leaving comments on social media, and they're interacting, and, you know, everybody that leaves a comment on the internet knows everything that they're talking about. They're experts. Well, when I was younger, even, like I said, up until college, the friends would get together. I've even seen it happen with adults. Everyone has an opinion. Everybody thinks their opinion is correct, and then basically we all pool our ignorance, and we're ignorant. But man, we can sell each other on it big time. You know, children, maybe that's something you've experienced. I know I've talked to my children before, and they'll tell me something about conversations with friends, and they, you know, man, my friend really knows. He knows this, Dad. And so, oh, okay, we'll go, and we'll do a little research. And it's like, he didn't. That happens. So Herod's confused. He's hearing all these things. All these people are coming to him, and they're trying to explain who Jesus is. They're trying to explain why is he able to display this power and authority? Who is Jesus? Herod's hearing all this, and he's confused. He's starting to try to figure out what's going on here. And what's interesting is when you look at the scripture, all of these explanations kind of go around the answer. Each of them deal with an aspect of pointing towards the Messiah. But none of these answers get to the fact of who the Lord Jesus Christ really is. The God-man. The Messiah. But instead what we get is all around. Here's the answer. And all the answers that are coming that confuse Herod are all over the place. They're in the ballpark, but none of them are right. None of them are hitting home. Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ. You know, some are saying, you know, Jesus is, he's one of the prophets of old. He's come back. And yes, the prophets of old, you know, were in the ballpark when it comes to the Messiah, but that's not right. In Luke 24, we turn to Luke 24, to the end of the Gospel according to Luke, we read in verse 44, and this is when Jesus has appeared to his disciples in Luke 24, 44. This is Jesus. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." No, Jesus is not one of the prophets of old, because all the prophets of old were preparing us for Jesus, pointing to the coming Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man. So that's not right. There's a lot of confusion going on, but that one's not right. Jesus isn't one of the prophets of old. Well, others are saying he's Elijah. And that's in the ballpark because, well, we turn to Malachi chapter 4. In Malachi chapter 4, we read in verse 5, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes." So there's this picture that, wait a minute, I mean, maybe the Messiah is about to come and Jesus is preparing the way. But then we come right back to the Gospels. We turn to Matthew, in Matthew chapter 17, Matthew chapter 17. And Jesus is teaching in verse 12. And he says, "But I tell you that Elijah has already come, and they did not recognize him, but did to him whatever they pleased. So also the Son of Man will certainly suffer at their hands." Well, Jesus can't be the one like Elijah, because he just said here, the one like Elijah has already come. Again, that can't be who Jesus is. There's still confusion. Herod's still hearing all these things. And then there's the last option that he's told, that John is back. John is back. Well, if we turn, again, we're in Luke, and we turn early, a few chapters back to chapter 3. Luke 3, we're going to read verses 2 through 6. During the high priesthood of Ananias and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And he went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. No, it's not John, because John has prepared the way for Jesus. So all this confusion, we cut through that. Though many voices are crying out, trying to tell Herod who Jesus is, as we look at the scriptures, we see that none of them are correct. They all know a little bit about Jesus, but they don't actually know him. So what does this mean for you, listening and watching at home or wherever you might be? What does it mean? What does it mean for you as we look at this confusion that Herod has? Well, just as Herod heard all these claims about Jesus and who he is, today there are many who claim to know who Jesus is. Those who start on one end of the spectrum who have complete disbelief. Jesus never existed. He was a myth that was created so that a group of people could have power over others. Move a little bit more. Yes, Jesus existed. He was a historical figure. He was this really good rabbi. But man, they hijacked this guy and they have turned him into this world religion, all the way to the other side of folks who would try to proclaim who Jesus is incorrectly, that would say, oh no, you know, Jesus is, he's the Messiah, but no, he is not the God-man. So across that whole spectrum, there are voices right now trying to tell you who Jesus is. These are voices that are not coming to God's word for the answer, but they're bringing their own opinions from the vain imaginations of men. The Quran, Islam, proclaims who they believe Jesus is. In the Quran tells us that Jesus is a prophet born of the Virgin, able to work miracles. He is a Savior, but not the God-man. Not the God-man. In fact, the Quran goes so far as to explicitly say, stop saying Trinity. No Trinity. They acknowledge Jesus and they try to give an explanation for who Jesus is. It's not what the Bible says. It's not what God has proclaimed. Well, there are others who claim the name of Christ and yet also bring a false understanding of who Jesus is. Mormons, Church of Latter-day Saints, Jehovah's Witness, those are two good examples of this. So they believe that Jesus is Messiah, able to work miracles, but not the God-man. There's not a triune God, and to say Jesus is one person, fully God, fully man, we can't go there. So we're going to deny what the Bible teaches. And they present again another picture of supposed knowledge about who Jesus is. More confusion as the crowd proclaims a false Jesus. But that's not what the Bible tells us. That's not what God says about who Jesus is. And there's no need for confusion. It's not as if the scriptures are written in a mathematical, algorithmic problem that needs to be solved. It's not a riddle wrapped in an enigma. I mean, you just open God's word and God speaks. I mean, this is God's word. It's clear. He didn't reveal everything to us, but he does reveal what we need to know about who he is and salvation. Now, granted, we understand, of course, that the Holy Spirit has to open our eyes and ears to that truth. But it's clear. It's clear. The Scriptures tell us in Romans 1 and in Psalm 19 that all of creation cries out, God exists. We are the product of a Creator. And then it is God's Word that specifically tells us that's where God speaks to His creatures and tells us who He is, tells us what's going on, tells us the covenantal theme of what He's doing, this covenantal promise where He says, I am your God, you are my people, I will dwell with you forever. He explains throughout Genesis and Revelation, we see the unfolding of redemptive history as we see God going about the saving of a people for Himself. All of that is explained there. Who the Lord Jesus Christ is, clearly in the Scriptures. We turn to John. So another one of the Gospels. The Gospel according to John, chapter 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 3, then jump down to 14. Now listen to this. You don't need a decoder ring to understand this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And we know that the Bible is God's Word. He proclaims that. He's told us that. It testifies to itself. Children, as you read that right there, just this one place in the Scripture you go to, and the other world religions and pseudo-Christian beliefs that we just cited and explained what they say about Jesus, just this one place shows that all those are false. Because right here we do have the fact the Lord Jesus Christ is the God-man. As John is writing about Jesus, and he says, He's God. And then you jump down, and He became flesh. God-man. Go back up. All things were made through Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. So Jesus couldn't be the first of creation, because all things were made through Him and nothing was made outside of Him. So you find yourself in an unworkable problem there. Trust God's Word. It is sufficient. It is perfect. Don't trust the vain imagination of men. Look to God's Word. We also see there's a lot of confusion here. All these questions are being asked. Herod doesn't seem to know quite where he's at least here in Luke, at this moment where we are in our passage. But it's interesting, we turn later in our chapter here, or later in our book here, in Luke chapter 9, and these same questions Jesus asked the disciples, who do the people say I am? And it's interesting, listen to what the disciples say, the people say, and then listen to Peter's response when Jesus asked them what they say. So we turn to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. I'm going to read verses 18 through 20. Now it happened that as he was praying alone, this is Jesus, the disciples were with him, and he asked them, who do the crowds say that I am? That's our question, right? Who is Jesus? Who do the crowds say? How do they answer the question, who is Jesus? And they answer, this is the disciples, John the Baptist. But others say Elijah, and others that one of the prophets of old has risen. Then he said to them, this is Jesus, then Jesus said to them, but who do you say that I am? How do you answer the question? And Peter answered, the Christ of God. You are the Messiah. You are the God-man. See, there's not confusion there. Where we might have a little bit of confusion going on with Herod at this point, There's none, as we're going to get to, and we'll see here on a Sunday evening, Lord willing, in the near future, that there's not confusion amongst the disciples as the Holy Spirit has revealed this truth to them. Many claim to know about Jesus, but what matters is actually knowing him. So we see that Herod, he hears many different things about Jesus. We see that Herod is confused by what he hears about Jesus. And then Herod, come to our third point, Herod, though confused, desires to see Jesus. You know, Jesus has caught the attention of everyone. As I said, it's going viral. He is the buzz. He's caught everyone's attention, even the attention of the civil magistrate as well as the ecclesiastical. And Herod wants to know more. Now, where we're at here with Herod, you're going to see, this is kind of like maybe you've had discussions with folks that are like this, where they want to know a little more about Jesus. They may say something like, well, you know, I'm a spiritual person, and I'm very interested in learning about, you know, what people think, and especially when it comes to spirituality. So, I'd like to hear more about Jesus. I'm spiritual. And then there are others who, you know, they're a little bit more forthcoming. They don't hide their guilt and the shame that they're carrying. And they are beginning to cry out and they're saying, I can't take this burden of guilt and shame anymore. But maybe this Jesus can help me. And then we compare that and we move to the more certain proclamation of those who say, I must know Jesus. Those who Spirit is drawing, has given them a new heart that is alive and desires the Lord's, I must repenting and believing and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, that everything the Bible says is true, that yes, he is the God-man, that yes, as Ephesians 1 says, in eternity past, that as we have the Godhead, God the Father chooses for himself a people, that's my church, gives as a gift the church to God the Son, says, go redeem them. God the Son willingly, enthusiastically says, yes, I will redeem my bride. God the Spirit, yes, I will give life at the very moment that has been decreed, spiritual life to each of these individuals who make up the church. Christ came in the fullness of time, taking on flesh, becoming the God-man in his humiliation, living out under his own law, keeping the law we could not keep, coming as the second Adam, as the prophet, the priest, the king, offering himself as the perfect Lamb of God, sacrifice, atoning sacrifice, to pay the debt that our sins owe to God. The humiliation of going to the cross and bearing. He is perfect. He is sinless. And yet having the sins of his people placed on him and the full wrath of God the Father poured out upon him, going to the tomb and death. 3 days, rising again. Alive as he is right now. As he continues to intercede for his people. As you trust in that truth that the Bible tells us, as you trust in Christ for your salvation, not in your own faith, not in yourself, not in your own works, but in Jesus, as you believe and trust in Jesus, that is a desiring to know Jesus more that is real and alive. It's part of a growing relationship. Not one of someone just seeking to understand a little bit more about Jesus, know a little bit more about what Christians think. Oh, what does the Bible say? It'd be probably good to know in case I ever go on a game show. Well, you know, I want to be open-minded about spiritual things. No. You compare that to, I must know Christ. I love God's Word and reading it and fellowshipping with God as I pray to Him by faith. And by faith, I come to His Word. I read the Bible, trusting the Spirit is teaching, building a relationship, because God is doing it. And you're faithful, and you love Him because you've been given a new nature, Oh, we could keep going, but wanting to know more. Now, at this point in Luke, as we look at what Herod's saying, here in Luke, it's almost this question of, okay, well, why does he want to know? Why is he seeking to meet with Jesus? What's going on here? Is he just curious? Does he just want to be, want to see the spectacle? Or is the Spirit working? Actually wanting him. Drawing him to Christ. Well, as we look at the other gospel accounts of Herod, sadly we see that that's not what's happening. It's actually more of a guilt trip that he's going under because of what he did in killing John the Baptist. So there's not that he's desiring so much that he wants to engage who he believes the Messiah is, but that he is feeling the guilt that has been rightly placed upon him for the sin of striking down a prophet of God, a godly, righteous man. As Herod knows, he is an unrighteous man. That's explained more in the other gospel accounts, but there's a touch of it even in verse 9 here. Herod said, "John I beheaded, but who is this about whom I hear such things?" He even acknowledges that this can't be John, right? I mean, I killed John. I executed him. We see even there's a touch of it. And then as we go farther into Luke, chapter 23, it's clear where Herod's at. It's clear what Herod's desire in seeking to see Jesus. And in Luke chapter 23, verses 6 through 12, as we get to the end of Jesus' earthly ministries, he's about to die an atoning death on the cross. We read in Luke 23, starting in verse 6, "When Pilate heard this, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And when he learned that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him over to Herod, who was himself in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had long desired to see him, because he had heard about him, and he was hoping to see some sign done by him. So he questioned him at some length, but he made no answer. The chief priests and the scribes stood by, vehemently accusing him, and Herod with his soldiers treated him with contempt and mocked him. Then, arraying him in splendid clothing, he sent him back to Pilate. And Herod and Pilate became friends with each other that very day, for before this they had been at enmity with each other." Jesus was just entertainment to Herod. It was just something to know about. There was no desire to truly know Jesus. So though he was confused, though he desired to see Jesus, sadly, it was for all the wrong reasons. So what does this mean for you? We're listening and watching this, and you hear of this sad, tragic reality for Herod. What does that mean for you? Well, even the most hardened and self-deluded sinners, they feel guilt and shame. Now, they try to numb it oftentimes in many, many ways. They try to, just as Romans 1 talks about holding down the truth and unrighteousness, as they look out and see that God exists beyond a shadow of a doubt, that everyone knows that. God has written His law upon their heart. And as many a pastor have described this as the unbeliever takes the beach ball under the pool, under the water, and tries to keep it held down, but sooner or later it's going to pop back up and back up. And regardless of how calloused their heart is, there is guilt and shame that cannot be escaped. That was the issue with Herod. He was feeling that guilt and shame, and he turned and he mocked Christ. He sought to be entertained by him like he was some traveling show. He was guilty for what he had done. Felt the shame of it. And it's right. It's right that he was. What he did was wicked and evil. See, God's law is written on our hearts. There's actually what we understand, the threefold use of God's law. So the first use is one that God's law convicts you of your sin. And that conviction then causes you to realize that there is one answer to this, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. There is no other answer. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So even for the Christian, when we sin, when you sin, Christian, God's law convicts you. There's the guilt and the shame. You're convicted. But the way you deal with it is you flee to Christ. Because by His grace, He deals with it. He takes that burden. There's forgiveness. So even for, if you're watching and listening to this and you're an unbeliever, and you're feeling the guilt and the shame that you're carrying, go to Christ. Look to Christ. Our great God loves to save sinners. So cry out to Him. Repent and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, what He's done, who the Bible says He is. Second is God's law restrains sin so that it causes all of even societies to be not as sinful, but to be kept down and more godly. And three, it teaches us how to live. So we look at the Ten Commandments and we can better understand how is it that God wants us to live. And then we obey them, as Jesus says to us in the Gospel of John, not because we're trying to earn brownie points, but we obey Christ because we love Him. That's what He said. If you love me, obey me. That's totally different than obeying to earn. It's not what it is. Because we've been given forgiveness and we love the Lord, we seek to obey Him. Not perfectly, but we seek to obey Him. So if you carry guilt and shame, cry out to Christ. Cry out to God where forgiveness is. If you're talking with someone, or you hopefully are going to be talking to many people who do carry guilt and shame, point them to Christ. Don't give them pet answers. Don't let someone else give you a blow-off answer. This is life and death. This is serious. Wrestle with it. Christ shed His blood for the forgiveness of the sins of His people. So, cry out to Him. Trust in Him. Trust in what He did and who He is. That He paid the penalty for your sin. The only answer is forgiveness in Jesus. Believing and trusting in His atoning death and resurrection. Herod hears many different things about Jesus. And then we saw that Herod is confused about what he hears about Jesus. And then Herod, though confused, desires to see Jesus. And what I hope you'll remember from this passage is that many claim to know about Jesus. But what matters is actually knowing Him. This is going to be a freebie for you. But as a general rule, I would recommend that you skip the comment section online. If you're trying to get some information, some news, some updates regarding our current health situation, I would strongly encourage you to skip the comment section. Those are not experts down there. They're just going to waste your time. There's a lot of opinions, a lot of people who think they know about what's going on, just like the crowds thought they knew as they told Herod who Jesus was. Get your info from the source. Get it from your doctor, CDC, health department, from county up to the feds. Just like, you know what? You want to know who Jesus is? Go to the source, because He's told us in His Word. Go there. And don't confuse knowing a lot about Jesus or even His Word. Don't confuse that with the equivalent of having an actual saving relationship with Him. Don't make that mistake. Don't forget, as Jesus who said, many will cry out, well, I mean, Jesus, I did all these things for you. I knew all this stuff about you. And He said, I never knew who you were. I don't know you. Don't let someone sell you on a weak, impotent, false gospel. repentance and faith. That's where life is in Christ. Repentance and faith. The Spirit gives you life and indwells you, brings you into union with Christ. And that union with Christ brings you into fellowship with the Father. You know, Pastor Nick said this morning, I think it's a good place to end. He mentioned this. I'm going to reiterate it. Jesus is all there is, and Jesus is all we need. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, we ask that you would bless and keep your people, that you'd be gracious to us, that we may live in your peace, that we would be bold in this next week, that as we love you and we seek to grow in your grace, that we would continue to love one another and the body of Christ, to look after each other's needs and seek to burden, shoulder each other's burdens, and that we would also, loving you, love our neighbor. Give us opportunities that we might bring the hope of Christ, the love of Christ, and the gospel of Christ to others. And may we do it to your glory and your praise. Amen. Amen.